Well, thank you, Lord Jesus. This evening, we're back into our teaching on the life of Christ. We got over in the areas looking at his healing ministry. And there are just certain areas we're going to look at. I went back in today and studying these. I've had a lot of notes over this over the year, the life of Christ and that stuff. I've done teaching numbers of times over the years in areas of this. But every time I go back through it, I just feel to do certain things differently and go into different areas differently. I think there's certain things that, you know, over time too is, we may even know from the Word, but certain times the Holy Spirit's emphasizing certain things to us. Certain things we need to know and understand. So tonight we're going to go into the area, we're going to go to the Matthew 9. We were already there. We had last week looked at the woman with the issue of blood or the flow of blood. And Jairus, who was a ruler, but he came and he asked Jesus about the healing of his daughter. And we looked at that, found out concerning faith. Really, and from our part, what our part to do, you know, Kenneth Hagin used to always use the term, he used to say there's a Godward side and there's a manward side to everything. There's a part that God does, but there's a part that we do. Sometimes people like to leave it all over to God. You know, people, well, God will take care of this. No, there's things we have to do. And there's one thing is about it. If we do our part, he's always faithful to do his. Amen. Hallelujah. That's one thing I can say for a matter of fact. God's always been faithful to do his part. Sometimes I've been a little slow doing my part, but he has always been faithful. And so we can count on that. Hallelujah. Well, he's a God who can't lie. He didn't say he was going to do something and didn't do it. So, hallelujah. So it's good to have such a wonderful, honest God and who is so merciful and kind and does many times better for us than we did. Hallelujah. That's our God. So tonight in Matthew 9, we're going to continue on. We want to look at here in the ministry of Jesus as he's going along, his effect on people. One of the things that we find out as you go along in his ministry, people followed him after, especially in the areas of healing. So one thing we need to know, there was a lot of sickness and disease, and it's just like today. Times haven't changed. You know, I don't care how many doctors you've got. Sickness and disease is always rampant. Amen. And the devil will see to it that that happens. This is one of the things that you want to learn to walk by faith, because you're in a world of sickness and disease. You're here. You're in it. You're sitting in the middle of it. You're sitting in the middle of a lot of contagious stuff, all kind of things going on. You learn to walk by faith. You know, and it really, I mean, it's super, it pays off and it shows for itself. I know Wanda could just give testimony like her working in a school with kids. Teachers were sick all the time. Wanda never got sick. And working in the same school with the same kids. Mm-hmm. Learning how to walk, not, you know, because there's all this kind of stuff. But you got to get yourself thinking right about it. You got to see yourself in the light of who you are in Christ and walking and not going as, I'm just one of the victims out here and boy, we have to put up with this. No, you have to put up with it. If you're willing to, you will. That's but right. You got to get your thinking right about it. Yeah. And she would go to school and, you know, she'd come home and all the teachers got all the flu shots and still got the flu. And they all did. Everybody, it's all going on. And she's not missing work. She's going back and forth to work and these things are going on. It's not her greatness. It's just we learn how what God's plan and purpose was for us. You know, God's plan and purpose is for you to be well. That's God's will for your life. Amen. So, you know, people tell, this isn't some fringe benefit. This is his will for you. You know, just like salvation, to get born again was his will for you. Yeah. Healing's his will for you. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, he didn't die in vain. He didn't take a beating just to be a cute guy. You know, we just, oh, ain't he something? You know, praise God, he took it for a purpose, and it was for our purpose. He didn't do it for him. He did it for us. So tonight we want to look again, because people are drawn to the healing ministry of Jesus. Crowds follow him, you know, and I just, you know, we do have a couple instances, one where the scripture tells us that people came to hear and be healed, but it was always to get healed. See, people followed because of healing. Now, number one, it's wonderful. There's a lot of people could do that today. You can follow God for healing. You can follow him for something other than him. There's one of the things that I find the great life of your faith life is wanting him. That inspires your faith to stand. There's many people want what God has. But they don't necessarily want him. You know, you sort of stay arm's length away from my life. I'm going to live out here. But I do want all your stuff. Give me all your... I want all your blessing. And no, I found out the real power of the blessing of God is Him. Walking close to wanting Him. Hallelujah. And when you understand how wonderful He is and what it is, to trust in Him, it's just an obvious thing to do. It isn't something you struggle. I'm trying to have faith. I'm never trying to have faith. I'm not trying to have faith. I mean, you know Him? My God. I mean, it's just, you want to trust Him. I mean, it's just an obvious thing to do. It's the thing you want to do and trust. So you want to learn to know Him. Well, we have here in Matthew the 9th chapter, I'm where verse 27 starts. It says, when Jesus departed from there, and He's talking about where He was at Jairus' place, then He said, two blind men followed Him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when He had come into the house, the blind men came to Him. Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to Him, yes, Lord. Then He touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And the eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. But when they had departed, they spread the news about Him in all that country. Now, we want to look at this thing. Again, here we have Jesus says to somebody not to spread it. We're going to look at some things why. But one of the things we see about, understand these guys' faith, the revelation that they have. Lots of times, even Christians don't have a revelation who Jesus really is. You know? Oh, He just my Savior. He just forgave my sin. They don't realize who He is. It's interesting with these blind men came and they said this. They said, they were saying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. The fact they're saying Son of David, they're recognizing Him as the Messiah. They believe He's the Messiah. He's the Son of David. Now, we're going to find others in things in ministry and healing. There, the crowds were wondering, you know, is He? They're questioning. These guys seem to think He was. So they're coming Him, and in other words, there's a matter of honor and respect that they're showing to Him. And this is one of the things that you need to know is come. Lots of times people come to the Lord, they come in a manner that, you know, I want what you have, and they don't really come with great respect. There's one thing is you always show honor. And I've learned over time, you know, I all the time when I go to the Lord, if I'm going to spend time praying, I don't care what it's about. Just the other night it was, you know, spending time in prayer concerning a minister and his wife that we know were in a motorcycle accident and they were in critical condition and praying. But you know, everybody says, you know, this is really urgent. I didn't get into urgent to bypass praising and worshiping God before I talked to Him about this. I spent considerable amount of time because I know this. This God we got, He is so good. And you come into His presence, you treat Him like He is so good, and don't be surprised, He does so good. Amen. See, too many people, we just run cold, dead cold, like a 3-year-old in the room. I want this. I need that. No, you honor Him. The reason I come to Him is because He's great. He can do what I can't do. I can't heal those people. I go to the healer. Let's honor the healer. And this is, they come in great respect. They show respect for Him. And He said, do you believe I am able to do this? And they said to Him, yes, Lord. Now, it's interesting, the word Lord, you know, a lot of times people, they translate it master and that stuff. The literal translation of that is one who's supreme or superior. That's a great honor. In other words, you're superior. That's who you are. You're above all the rest of us. You're the big guy. And I want to tell you, learn to treat God. Have faith in that fact of who He is. And when you go to Him, it's like one of the things I looked at these men. These men, I can understand where they had faith. Sure, they knew healing was going on, but they had faith because of who He was. Who they believed that He was. You know, you're not going to be able to believe God for more than you think He is. You know, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, the Scripture says. But in fact, you know, let's go over that. I want to read that to you about He's a rewarder of those from Hebrews 11 because of what that says there, really for our benefit. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, He says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to him must believe that he is. Everybody starts this, believe, well, believe that he's God. Everybody believes in a God. He is what? Is what you want rewarded for. Is he that? Is he? See, if you don't have faith, if you're trying to get something from, no, you got to believe that's what he is. Amen. See, he is. These guys came and believed he is. That's what they believed. And what happened? They got rewarded, didn't they? They got the reward of that. And so, what is he? Is he is to you what you need? Is he? You know, if you think about that, you know what you do? You come in your presence. You're just, my God, you are the superior. You're something else. You're great. What you're going to do for me, I just want to thank you. It is so wonderful to come. I don't have to come in begging to you. I can come in you. We can fellowship together. You know, the Bible tells us God wants to be workers together with him. We're not some kind of slaves. Amen. You know, it's one thing to be to serve somebody. It's the other thing to be a slave to somebody. You know, I serve God willingly. He doesn't ask for something. He will never force me to serve him. Amen. He doesn't force us. Hallelujah. When you find out how good he is, he says, can I serve you, please? Yeah. Let me serve you. Hallelujah. And that's what you're... So these guys come in with great high respect. But he asked them this now, and which is, under a word, he wants to get faith from them. They have to say something. See, faith ain't just believing something. He says something, asked them a question. He said to them, okay, I want this. He said, well, do you believe I can do it? They want something? Well, let me know. Well, they spoke, yeah, I believe you can do this. Okay. But then what does he say to them? According to your faith, let it be done to you. So in other words, he didn't say to them, I healed you, or I'm going to do this or that. He said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. Now understand, the healing anointing is on Jesus. But that a healing anointing is not on him, and it's going to just go to everybody. He said, do you believe I can do it? And he said, yeah. He said, well, according to your faith, you got it. It's yours. So we know they both got healed, so they did actually believe that, didn't they? They believed it. Now we had the woman with the flow of blood, all those people touching her, no, nothing's happening. Nothing's going nowhere. Nothing's going on. She come along and touch. See these guys here? Faith does something. Jesus turned around, touched their eyes, and they were healed. He said, you believe me? Sure. Okay. According to your faith, he touches them. They get well. Why? See, their faith drew the anointing just like it did with the woman with you. She just said, though, if I can touch the hem of his garment. That's where her faith was. Theirs was in a different way. But no, God responded to their faith. Amen. To their faith. See, it's one thing as people, you know, they think, if I just get a real anointed minister, I'll get it. I'm sorry, it don't work like that. Do you have faith to draw that anointing? And no matter he's anointing, do you have faith to draw that anointing? Do you have faith to take that anointing? See, that's what you want to have. You want to have faith to receive the anointing that he has on them. And it's one thing, according to your faith, let it be unto you. Now, this is one thing is to understand. We talked about some of this last week. Find out where you can stand. Say what you believe, not what you want. No matter what you want, if you can't believe for what you want, get what you can. Now, the word tells us that he'll do exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think, according to the power that works in us. In other words, he may go beyond and do something more, but the whole thing of it is, be honest about your faith, where you stand. One of the things that I've seen Christians over the years all the time, hurt their faith all the time. They're always trying to reach for more than you have faith for, and they end up going nowhere. They end up getting nothing, and then they're turning around and, well, I don't understand why this. No, don't ever be ashamed of the faith you have. Stand where you can. Get what you can. I learned a long time. I ain't performing for people. I don't care what other people think. It's what God thinks. You're going to him. You know, many people, they want to have, you know, this great thing for other people. No, I need my faith to grow. I need to get a hold of where I can stand and what I can do and just take this where you can and stand in it and get blessed. And it'll turn around and encourage you to believe more the next time. But if you play games, I'll guarantee you, you'll end up just shoot yourself in the foot spiritually. Your faith won't grow. You'll always be a person saying, it ain't working for me, I don't know why. And you know, don't try to play it up to other people. Lots of times people do that. They want to make people think that they have something that they don't. And over the years, I've run into that ministering to people, even talking to people. I remember years ago dealing with a woman, and she would do this. She would always act like she'd stay in a place of faith, and I knew she wasn't there. And I questioned her about she came for healing, and she said, no, like she's going to believe for divine healing, and I knew she couldn't do it. I knew she needed to go to a doctor, so I knew she. And I talked to her about it. I said, you can go to the doctor, you know, just agree and get a quick recovery. Or that. No, I'm just going to believe I'm going to be healed. Well, I laid hands on her. I knew it wasn't going to go nowhere. And right after church, anyhow, a person came up to me and said, you know, you talked to her up there. You know what she did? She went and said, you know, talked completely opposite of what you said. Right after she did. You know, she ended up dying early in life. And the reason she did was her. God didn't have nothing to do with it. Her faith never grew because she's always trying to put on an act around people. And her faith never grew, and the devil took advantage of her, and you couldn't do nothing about it. You couldn't do anything for her. Tried to talk to her, say, hey, let's just hold what you can. No, man, I got faith. And then right after church, she just tells people, nah, she's going to go do this. See, you have those things go on. See, people never sit around and question and wonder about what happens with people, because people can put on a show in front. It can be another story. And people stop and say, well, I don't understand. They were believing God. How do you know? God doesn't specifically tell you. You don't know. Lots of times I would know and minister to people just because the anointing that's on you when you're ministering, you know things. And usually God will always try to help you to get the person over into faith. And that's not always easy to do. Because people usually don't like to listen to you up there. They want what they want. And they don't want to hear somebody tell them that they might have to do something different. But I'm just big on this. If I need to do something different, let's get it done. Let's do what we got to do to get what we want to get. You know, I would rather go to the doctor and get a quick recovery than turn around and not get any at all.
Amen.
I'll take that any day. So you walk where you can walk. Take a hold of it. It'll be a great blessing to you. Now, so Jesus made this statement again with these ones, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, "See that no one knows it. Don't you go out. Don't you tell people. Don't you go out here. I don't bore anybody. Don't go out here." I always find this easy. They had great respect to him till this thing happened to them, and he sternly warned them. In other words, all of a sudden, they threw everything out. He's not the master now, and he's not the... He sternly warned them, don't do this, and what they went and did it. But I want you to understand where it's at. This took place up in the area of Capernaum. We want to understand about Capernaum. Capernaum, in that area, was the number one place where Jesus' ministry, healing ministry, took place. It's number one. You study the Bible. That's why you got to study things. Most everybody thinks of Jesus didn't do a lot of ministry in Jerusalem. And down there, you can't get much done down there with all the religious people. And you're going to find that anywhere you go on this earth. You don't ever get much done around religious Christians. It's hard. It's like they say, tough sledding. It's like you're trying to sled without snow. It don't work well. And with religious people. Now, one other thing, Jesus lived in Capernaum. He had a home there. The Bible tells us. You know, in Matthew, the 4th chapter, I'm going to read these things to you. Matthew 4:13 says this about Jesus. He said, "And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali." So he moved into that area. Now, he had a home there. He went and dwelt there. He lived there. In Mark, the 2nd chapter, in verse 1, says, "And again he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house." You see, he was at Capernaum, and we found these guys followed him to the house. It says they went into the house. What was that? That was his house. It was his house. It's where he lived. Now, when he traveled around, he wasn't living in it, but he had a place where he always went to, where he had a home in Capernaum. Now, understand this. He makes this statement here. We were just, you know, reading. We were looking at the 9th chapter. But we find out over in the 11th chapter, which really is not a long period of time because he's dealing with his ministry. If you read through these chapters, what went on at this time period. We want to read something here because Jesus, we had talked about this before, but I want to read it to us in Matthew 11. in Matthew 11. We need to understand about Jesus' ministry. Jesus knew things, and we understand this is about responsibility of people. And we're going to find out here in Matthew 11 and verse 20. This is Jesus pronounces judgment on three cities. One of them we're going to find is Capernaum, and Capernaum really is dealt with hard compared with the other two. But one of the things, he speaks about this because of living there. And in Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 20 says, "And then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyria or Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." Now these are Gentile areas in Gentile Syria, which is up in the areas towards Syria today, what we would have Syria, up into that area. He said, "But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you." Now, he said, "And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." Now, this is one thing that we need to understand. This is Jesus' ministry. All those mighty works were done there, but there's a problem. They wanted the works, but they hadn't listened. They wouldn't pay attention to his preaching. John the Baptist preached a gospel of repentance. That's the exact thing as Jesus preached. That's what we're supposed to be preaching, but usually don't. People need to come to repentance. If man doesn't come to repentance, repentance is this. It's about a changed life. A person doesn't want... We take people to Christ and have them accept Christ, and we never even dealt them with... Do you still want your life? If you want what you got, if you want to stay in the same way you are, this is no path for you to come. This is no way for you to come. This ain't for you. Oh, I want Jesus, but I want my own life. Jesus talked about when he said, if you love your mom, dad, or somebody else in the family more than you do me, you ain't worthy of me. He said, you got to take up your cross and come follow me. Well, we don't preach that. We preach another gospel. We preach another Jesus.
Come on.
And see, we need to know this because people need to know they needed life change. I came up. That's what my big decision was in my own personal life. Was I knew I needed to be saved, but I had to, it took me. I spent months on the things of deciding whether I was going to lay my life down. What I was going to do. I knew that if I'm going, I just knew it. I knew if I'm going to follow Jesus, I can't live the life I'm living, and I had to decide. But am I willing to do this? You know what? There's loads of Christians have people. They got born again, but they never gave their life up. Never gave their life.
Amen.
See, there's one thing as I found out. See, that's one of the things is the Lord dealt with me about when I asked him why, one of the reasons why why did I stay in the things that followed you just going after it? And other people, I see them, it's like, where is it? He said, you made a commitment to me the night you got saved. He said, most of them never did. They're committed to themselves. They want Jesus. They want salvation. Many people like that. When it comes down to it, they love all kinds of things more. They love family more. They love this more. They love that more. They love all these things more. And if all those things has to stay real pretty and keep all them happy, and then Jesus, then whatever's left, we're going to make you happy. I'm sorry. We have to stop down and say, hey, hold it, hold it. And it's one thing is I came down to the thing of looking at, because Wanda wasn't saved. I thought, well, if I get saved, what happens if she doesn't want to follow Christ? What happens? She don't want it. What am I going to do? What happens? I had to decide that. And one of the things I finally came to the thing, well, I'm going to follow Jesus, and if she don't, then she don't.
Amen.
But I'm going to follow Jesus. This is what it is. See, most people never do any of that. So they get into the things and find out, maybe the other partner don't want to go into this. Well, then they back off. I don't want to lose this, or I don't want to lose that. And just, I'm glad I decided all that before I got into this thing. I decided it was going to be me and Jesus, and well, the rest of it, they'll all have to figure that out for themselves. Yeah. This is mine. Yeah. This is one of the things why God many times cannot work on other people around us. is because we ask him to, but we're not sold out. Why on earth would he chase after them? He's trying to get us. So that's what we want to do. You know, got sold out. And when I got sold out, Wanda saw the change in my life, and she wanted a change in hers. Hallelujah. And most people, this is what happens. They don't see a change in the person that said to her a Christian's life, why on earth am I going to change? Didn't do nothing for you. It ain't done nothing for you. Why on earth will you? You know? And so we want to change life. And I'm just going to tell you this. My life didn't change. God worked on me during that time period where I'm trying to make a decision. God was working on me during that time period. The Holy Spirit would talk to me and tell me about looking up certain things in Scripture. See, if we don't have a right gospel preached to people, the Holy Spirit don't have nothing to work on with people. They only have, they can only have faith in the words they hear or they know.
Yeah.
And see, people have to know things. And the Holy Spirit, one of the things to me, always took me to the Word. He always took me to the Word. He would show me things in Scripture. I mean, I was looking up things in Scripture before I got saved. You know what I'm saying? Well, the more I did, the more faith came.
Amen.
This is why it's very hard for people to get in line with things, because they ain't got enough Word. Nobody's told them enough of the Word. There's not enough Word involved in it. It's all story.
Amen.
Yep, that's true.
They talk about forgiveness of sin, and they ain't even seen a Scripture yet for it. And when it come down to have faith in it, well, maybe it didn't work. You know, maybe he didn't. So there's things that we got to see. But Jesus here has warned them. Why? Because of Capernaum and he's going on here. Jesus knows this city is in big trouble. The people here are in big trouble. He's done talking with them. See, we don't understand. You need to understand this. America is in a lot of trouble on this ground, and the church especially, because we have had a lot of gospel preached in this nation, and God holds us accountable. There are nations of this earth that are not near as accountable as America is. Not near. In the day of judgment, they will not be judged near as hard. We look and say all the awful things going on there. No, God doesn't see like man sees. He looks at awful America who's had the gospel preached and don't pay any attention to it. He judges according to what people have been given. Just like with us. To him, you know, if you have much, you're going to be, whatever you got, you're going to be judged according to what you have, what's been given to you. This is what we do. I don't think, there's nothing wrong with that. That only makes sense. Don't we live that way? Don't we have expectation? We raise kids. Don't we have an expectation of what they've been taught to do it? When it comes to Christianity, it's all thrown out. It don't count over here. No, that's the way it is. And you know what? I don't mind accountability. I don't mind it.
Amen.
Accountability leads to reward.
Hallelujah.
You never give big rewards to babies.
Come on.
You don't hand them the big stuff. They just get, you know, the pacifier and stuff like that. They don't get the big stuff. Mm-hmm. They don't get that. You see, you find out what you want, everything comes with responsibility. Reward comes with that responsibility. The reward comes. Here's a people, they have a gospel of repentance they have not responded to. Oh, they want the healing. Oh, yes, he's a healer, and we want his healing. I want to feel better. Why? So I just go live my life again. See, I feel good now. I'm feeling real good, so now I can go live my life, and I can go do my thing. I often thought about this as a young Christian. I heard Kenneth Hagin tell this story of he was at another church ministering, and the pastor and him were ministering healing. They were both ministering to people in the church, the service. And the pastor, he said he was ministering over, but he listened. He said, this girl walked up and said she wanted healed, and he asked her, he said, well, you know, about her being, what's wrong? And she said, well, her shoulder and stuff was bad. He said, why do you want to be healed? You see, sometimes the Holy Spirit will turn around. He wants to find motives about people. He said, why do you want to be healed? She said, to play tennis. He said, you don't need healed. He said, you need healed to serve God, not play tennis.
Amen.
See, what is your motive of why you want to be well?
Yes.
preach.
See, people don't understand this. Because there's many people want things, but they're not going to use it to the glory of God. It's so they can go on in their life and do their thing. Mm-hmm. Now, it's nothing wrong with playing tennis. But that should not be the motivation. See, like when the Lord spoke to me as a young Christian, He said, my people can't serve me when they're sick. They can't do what I want. And the devil takes their money, and they can't do with money with what they need to do to serve me. They can't do. It's about serving Him. It's not serving ourselves.
Amen.
And I always stuck with me. Is my motive right to want to be well? Is just so I get well and just so I can go off and just do my thing? Now, I'm sure there's been plenty of people who played tennis got healed. But the whole thing of it is, her holding tennis. I want to play tennis. This is what I want to do. So I guarantee you, God wouldn't have moved in that way. But he's trying to get a hold of her, the fact. See, he's doing this for her benefit. Because if she don't listen, he ain't going to do something to her. She's over in the devil's territory. The devil's going to get more hold of her. He's going to get more hold of her. She has over here something she wants more than Jesus.
Come on.
I want to be good at playing tennis. Now I want to be good at following Jesus. That'd be a good thing to learn to do.
Amen.
That's what I want to be. There's nothing matter of wanting to play tennis good, but would it be better that if I'd serve Jesus and then maybe go play tennis?
Amen. Amen.
You know, I always appreciate, you know, when you get professional sports people are really bold about their faith. You know, there's something they're sold on more than, and especially the ones that are just openly, they're open about it. I know the quarterback, I forget which team it was. He just retired, and the only reason he retired, he said the Lord told him something else he got to be doing, and he said, so I'm leaving football. Now the guy's in the middle of making tons of money.
But
he said, I'm walking off. Why? He says, and I think about him and think, yeah, he's good at football, but he wants to be good with Jesus.
Amen.
I thought, hallelujah. Say, well, look what he's given up. You never gave nothing up for Jesus.
Amen.
There's only one thing you get from following Jesus, and that's reward.
Amen.
And see, you need to change that. Some people say, but if I follow God, I have to give up. Gee, I had to give me up in sin. What an awful thing that was. That was terrible. I had to give up alcohol and drugs. You know, it was terrible. I'll tell you, it was just... I had to give up dying young. It was awful. I'll tell you. Lord, Lord, Lord. All I've done for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, see, that's you, and you can have the same testimony. Don't ever, there's one thing to reward. You got to get this picture within yourself that I think is a, when I came into the kingdom, there was a big thing about the future and about, you know, our reward in heaven. And coming to this is realizing that you're in this earth, and this is for a short period of time.
Amen.
And heaven is eternity. And you know, this is about laying up rewards for eternity.
Amen.
This is about our place and what we have for eternity. And to this side, you know, over here, you might not be big in man's eyes, but I'm going to tell you what, there's people that have never, nobody's ever shined a flashlight on them. But I'm going to tell you, they get to heaven, there's going to be a big flashlight shined on them. There's going to be big light shined on them. There's great reward. And the reward for this is doing what God's called you to do. Not with somebody else.
Amen.
You're going to be shocked when you go to heaven and find out people who supposedly had enormous ministries, who you're going to find they're going to have very little reward, because a lot of their ministry was never what God called them to. It's what they did. It's what they did. I read a book years ago about a guy called up to heaven and met people. And he met this one guy, a minister that he knew in heaven, had a very large ministry and died. And he got up to heaven. And this minister told him he was very ashamed because he said, I did a lot of stuff, but he said, it wasn't what God called me to do. He was popular in men's eyes, but he said, here I'm not popular. I'm not, you know, I got here. I don't have the reward of all that stuff because the Lord never told me to do those things. See, one thing is this, if God uses you in any way, always give glory to God, and don't get over to be seen by men. Don't get,
Amen.
You know, let men see God. You know, get over there, you know, into the place. I've been very fortunate in my Christian walk. I've had numbers of things that God did through me, but it was God, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Amen.
And it, you can't walk around, you can't blow your horn how great you are. It's God's working. Amen. You know, it's just like, you know, he's talking about in ministry, you know, that woman. I wouldn't have known to do what I did unless God had told me. You don't know what to do. It's God's working, and you always keep in that place. Men aren't great. And you keep yourself over there to find out, you know, all these things. Because what we're asking God for and we want God to do is outside of our own ability. We can't do it.
That's right.
We don't have the power to do it. So for me to turn around and act like I'm something great is a lie. Mm-hmm. And most people say, I'm not a liar. There's a lot of liars in the body of Christ. They don't realize they're doing it because they take credit upon themselves. Well, I've arrived to this, or I've arrived to... If I've arrived anywhere, it's because I got on the right bus. That's the only reason. If that's the only reason, I just got on the right bus, and it took me there. I didn't drive it. I didn't do anything. I was on it for the ride, and hallelujah. But God's working. So always keep it over there. And it's one thing, it's funny. We're always grateful to Him. You always honor Him. It's amazing how He will move. I'll tell you, it's amazing how He'll overlook your shortcomings and weaknesses. If you keep your attitude right of who He is.
Amen.
Praise God.
Because when you think you're a big deal, don't be surprised. He might judge you in that area. Okay, big deal, do something. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay. But I'm serious. There's a lot I think that He does for people. I've watched along a line of people that, you know, they ain't the sharpest, you know, knife in a drawer, spiritually speaking. But they're very humble toward God. And I've watched things that God have done for these people. And people who think they're pretty sharp don't come close to what God... And for what I've learned of God, it's the fact of they just hold Him in esteem in the areas... when they deal with Him, they deal with Him with great honor and things and that. They don't try to promote to themselves that there's something great at all. They just walk along, and they might not be always the best at certain things, but they have great honor toward God. And always be like that. Recognize what He does and what He can do. Now, we're going to look here on the healing on the Sabbath. We're going to start over here in this. I don't know if we're going to finish this all tonight. But we're going to look here. There was a healing on the Sabbath in Matthew, the 12th chapter. We're jumping over one chapter to the 12th. Verse 9 says, "And when He had departed from there, He went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked Him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" So they asked Him something, that they might accuse Him. So in other words, they're asking, they're coming off. In other words, there's a guy with a withered hand. I'm sure they set him on the front row. These are the type of people. Now, you know what they're dealing. See, you need to understand this. Jesus is dealing with the Jews, and now we look here at the Pharisees, but the fact we need to understand, the whole city of Capernaum has been judged by God. Understand, we say, well, Jesus judged them, but He didn't. God judged them. Jesus was a prophet operating under the anointing of God. What He did, God had Him do. God would not tolerate what they did toward Jesus, not respecting the message. So we need to understand that too. When people don't respect what God's saying, it's not a good thing. People can get in trouble over that. So, these people here, this is what He's dealing with up in this area where He's ministering at. Because, see, the people are very religious. They're there in the synagogue. So then He said to them, He made a statement, "What man is there among you who has one sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Or how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on this." Is there lawful there to do good on the Sabbath? "Then He said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against Him how they might destroy Him." Now, we want to see this. You need to understand what He's dealing with. Do you know why? It sort of lets you know what's been going on. Why is this place? Why are these places being judged? What are they being judged? It's number one, is we will eventually get in the story of the healing of the man where Jesus healed a man who was blind, and the man didn't know who Jesus was or nothing. But after he was healed, The Pharisees asked him about being healed, and they said, "Do you know who it was that healed him?" And he said, "No." He said, "I don't know who it was," and that stuff. And he said, "All I know is he had healed me, and that's all I know. Now I was blind to see." And but anyhow, the Pharisees got all upset, and they said this guy was of the devil. And this blind man says, "Well, that's interesting that a man can do what he did to me to open my blind eyes." And it was the devil. He said, "You know that nobody could do this unless God's with him." Do you ever think about today in the church world how much of the church world don't believe God heals? It's amazing. A blind, uneducated blind man could figure out the goodness of God, and all of the seminary graduates can't figure it out today. It is amazing. It's amazing. Well, you know, the devil's one place in the Bible talks about the guy who's the Antichrist. He gets dead and lives. One place. And they all pull that out and say, "Well, see, the devil heals." Yeah, I know he does in your church, probably. I don't know. But people are so against. So this is what we have here. Now, one of the things that you need to understand why they were against it. Because what they have done is, and I've talked about this before, they have relegated healing to doctors. See, this is one of the things this is one of the reasons why today I've heard out many times ministers say, "Well, God gave us doctors." That's what they did. So people come along healing, "God gave us doctors." He ain't doing that. That our gift is doctors. Well, if there's something better, I want it. I'm not against doctors. Jesus never preached against doctors. But you know what? He never told anybody they need to go to the doctor. He never did. Now, he did make the statement, a person needs needs a physician, you know, and a person's in that place. We need to understand this. He wasn't against people, never said anything about the woman with the issue of blood. He never said anything about her going to the physician and trying to get well or whatever she was doing. But there was something better for her. In other words, there's something offered better. Let's shoot for it. Yeah. You know, just like if you're going to go to the doctor, if you can find a doctor that's better than the one you got, it'd be a good idea if you got it between your ears to go there. Say, "No, this other doctor's cheaper and he's closer." Do you want to get well? Or do you just have one more money in your pocket so you can stay sick longer? You know, use wisdom. Be wise. If you can do something better, it's like to me, if I can believe God to have a quick recovery, let's get it. Let's get what we can. Let's get a quick recovery. If we can do anything, let's get a hold of it. See, always go for something better. But see what they did, they relegated. So then therefore it's a profession. Healing is a profession that people have. Well, see, you weren't allowed to do work on the Sabbath day. So healing can only be done 6 days a week, which they don't even do it 6 days a week. It's relegated, healing's relegated to doctors. And you know, we don't realize what we've done. One of the great problems we have in our medical community today is because of the faithless church. We have put much more pressure on doctors than they should have. We're expecting doctors to take care of a lot of things. You know, they don't have time for the seriously ill because there's 5 million other people that are standing in line with a hangnail and a whatever else and got their little problem in it. Oh yeah. We got all this stuff going on. It's like they say, you know, 70% of the people that go for physical therapy don't do the exercises and stuff they do. 70%. You talk about all these people, you know, well, and they walk around their walkers and all that stuff. That's their fault. Most of them, it's their fault. Whether they people like to hear it or not, it's their fault. They ain't going to do what they got to do. Well, it's hard. Yeah, I find that life's hard sometimes. I find that there's great victory in doing the hard. There's no victory in doing the easy. Never found it. Doing the easy usually don't get you very far. What to do is you go to the easy. I mean, go to college and take a psychology degree and get a degree. You pay, you know, $50,000 to the government now, and you got a degree that ain't even make a decent fire with. You can get $20,000 a year for it. I'll tell you, it's just a wonderful job you can get. God has something better. Why? To shooting for something harder that has greater reward. That's what you want to go for. Greater reward. And you want to do that. But these guys come along and they said the Sabbath, the healing. So he heals them. What do they do? I just think this guy has a withered hand. He gets his hand healed, and amen. Man, that's where I want to go to church. But you know what? These religious people will not leave that place. We find out in other studies, if we go along, we're going to find out that anything the people would, they don't want to fight nothing because they'll kick me out of the synagogue. They'll kick me out of the church. I'd say, please kick me out right now. Let's get the kicking out going. Let's get with this thing. See, I can see why Jesus ate with the sinners. Religious people will make you crazy. They will do things that are just like, oh my God, what are we doing? Hallelujah. I want to go on and read to you about this because this, here in from Mark, well, we'll talk about it. We'll pick up later on another thing. But in Luke, the sixth chapter, we have here in the same instant, we're going to read about this. In the same instant, concerning these, because there's some other things said here, there's things added to that sort of let us know what's going on a little bit with this. In Luke, the sixth chapter, we're going to jump to there. Luke 6, and in verse 6, it says, "Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered." It said, "So the scribes and the Pharisees watched him closely whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts." So here we sort of get an insight. See, he knew what was going on. This didn't just happen. He knew what was going to happen. And you know, that's not very surprising. Lots of times, there's times in that stuff that I have known that you're going to do something, and I know what you're going to run into. I know what I'm going to run into before I ever get there. You understand the work of the Holy Spirit? This is one thing why you learn how to be led by the Spirit, is because He shows you what's to come. Jesus knew going into this what was coming. You want, number one, God wants you prepared at things. You know things that are going on. So you don't, you know. You might not, He didn't tell you everything, but there's lots of times He's going to show you things ahead of time so you know what's happening. During this thing here, He knew their thoughts. You get around them, you know what's happening and what's going on. Why? Because it's number one, in out of all of this, whether people are crazy and do something, Jesus' intent is to minister to people to bring them to truth. And God's going to deal with them. Now this is one thing as you need to know, is you need to listen to the Spirit. Because sometimes He will, you know, there's people in instances and stuff where people may, you know, people are against the move of God because of their ignorance. There are people who are against the move of God and they know what they're doing. They know what they believe is wrong, but they ain't ever going to admit it, and they're going to try to put you under because they don't want you to look bad. See, this is the Pharisee. One thing is the Pharisees, I mean, we have Nicodemus. Nicodemus was in the Sanhedrin. He was a Pharisee, one of the head in the Sanhedrin. And he says, "We know you're a teacher from God, because nobody can do what you do unless God's with them." So the Pharisees knew. But what are they acting like? "Oh, this guy's demonic. He's like, yeah, he's doing all this stuff wrong." No, he's a teacher from God and they know it. See, and his dealing with them is different than dealing with a person who's ignorant. And you'll find out people. There's people who are legitimately ignorant. They're legitimately, they don't know. There's different people. You'll run into people and they ain't ignorant. They know. But they ain't going to submit to what's right, because if I do, it's like I've told the story about the man in the healing. Kenneth Hagin was sent to the man's church because he was going to die. 42 years old, he's going to die. And he sent him to his church. Because the Lord said to him, "He don't have to die if he'll listen to your teaching this week." Well, the guy would never come. Had him come to his church and he wouldn't come to the daytime teachings on faith. He wouldn't come to him. Kenneth Hagin finally said to him, "Don't you know they're going to die?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "I do. I know I'm going to die." Well, he said, "You don't have to." He said, and this is what the guy said to Kenneth Hagin. And to me, it just blows my mind. But here's a man who knows, who is in rebellion. He said, "If I go along with you, I have to admit that I'm wrong, and I will not admit that I'm wrong." And he died. I think it was 2 weeks later. Fell dead in his pulpit at church.
Oh
See, for us out there, it's hard to understand. But you need some people. You'd be surprised how there's mercy of God, people sitting around out here. I work with people that went to churches and knew that God was moving through me and doing things, but they denied it because they didn't. They came into a church who believed this stuff, you know, we're not supposed to be doing this stuff, you know. Things don't turn out well for people like that. See, walking in the light. See, when you know something's true and right, you know, don't knock with God. We'll find out more about this teaching. We'll do into next week on that. But so we have here these people. They're in opposition. Jesus, you know, talks to them. So he knew their thoughts. And when he said to the man, you know, he told him to stand up here, and he arose and stood. He said, then Jesus said to him, he said, I will ask you one thing: is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or destroy it? It's one of the most things about Jesus. You'll know most of the time when he talked and asked a question, they never answered him. Did you ever notice that? You know, they came and asked Jesus a question. He said, I'll answer your question if you answer mine. Was John the Baptist, you know, was his ministry from God or not? And they decided, if we say it is, then it admits we've been lying. And if we say it's not, the people ain't going to like us because they all believe it is. So they said, we don't know. We're liars. Do you want to know something? Those people are in hell today if they didn't repent and turn. They're lost. They've spent their whole life so-called following God. So-called. 70 AD came. What happened to the city of Jerusalem? What happened? What happened? See, you can't. This is one thing is today. There's a lot of stuff out here. People are in great danger. And they ain't going to get out of the danger for us telling them, you know, well, Jesus loves you. No, you need to repent. If you don't change, you need a life change. If you don't want your life changed, you won't live your life, this ain't going to work out well. So you think it's bad now? Wait till the future comes. You think this is ugly? You ain't ever seen ugly. You know, you ain't ever seen hell. And I didn't ask for a trip to go see what it looks like either. I don't really have interest in that. To see what that's like. I heard my neighbor cry out from there, and that was enough for me. Amen. And I can say it truly. It scared the hell out of me. It's like, oh my God. Boy, when I heard his voice, I mean, I just like, oh. It went through me. It just, because I knew this is eternal. He ain't ever coming out. So he ain't never going to change. See, people are in great danger. They might not think we're cool. It don't matter. They can say anything about me that they want. It don't matter.
Amen.
Their salvation is more important than what somebody thinks of it.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's, man, we're talking about eternal damnation. I mean, it's just, wow. Well, it says, when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, stretch out your hand, and he did so. And his hand was restored as whole as others. But they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to him. They asked a question, they refused to answer because they put him on the spot. Then the guy got healed. Now, I'll tell you what, they struck out with two strikes. They got in the wrong game. Jesus was a two-strike pitcher. They hit a short pop-up foul and got caught. Put him out. But see, we can really learn things. It's another one is dealing with the areas of faith. We look at God's mercy. You know, God sent Jesus specifically into this place to deal with these things. Because what happens? If these Pharisees never repented, they end up in hell. They have no course of any other justice. They have no course for it. Justice was served that day, and they refused it.
Yes.
Justice was served that day. They heard what justice is. And they said they refused it. We don't want that. We made up laws and rules. Understand this. In Israel, one of the great problems was dealing with the law. They didn't follow the law. They followed the law and. They had, you know, the elders had made what they call the Torah. And in the Torah, was thousands of laws that were made up to explain how the law works. And loads of these things were men's ideas. I mean, Jesus, come on, they had all their ideas, things that they, I mean, they had in there how people, when you do your dishes, how you have to wash your cup and all this kind of, all this ridiculous stuff. And you were sinning if you didn't do that. So it was nothing but religious rituals. It was, none of it was bringing faith to people. Look at our scriptures in the Old Testament. How do we have people under the law who had great faith in God and people under the law that had no faith in God? It's the same way today. How do you get people among Christianity? People have a lot of faith in God and don't. It's because ones are actually following the Word. There's many people, they're following the Word in. They're following their religious traditions and all. And all that stuff just robs faith out of you.
Yeah.
You might have a truth over here, but you got five things you're following over here, and it's just robbing the faith out of you of what you do know that's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Laws made by men. You have to do it this way. You have to do it that way. And this is what we do. The traditions. You know, if we took in the earth, what do we have? You know, a lot of we have today in the earth stuff going on, the traditions. We're trying to have a melting pot of traditions, and everybody can have all their traditions, and it's all going to work out. No, it ain't. There's no agreement in nothing. You know? We need to understand this. You can't do that. You know, we need to get around is beliefs. In Christianity, people just be, well, you know, we all have our different beliefs, yeah. But you know what? We don't even have foundational beliefs the same.
Amen.
We can't even get foundational beliefs on salvation. And people are saying, well, it's all right. We're all together. I ain't.
Amen.
I'm like Jesus. Jesus wasn't together. We go along and look at Jesus said about things.
Right.
He didn't talk all this stuff we're talking today.
Right.
He wasn't on everybody's side. He was on God's side. You know how people say, is God's on my side? Are you sure of that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I tell you what, this, I'm on His.
Amen.
This is how I know I'm on the right team.
Amen.
I'm on His side.
Yes. Amen.
I never saw in the book that He was supposed to get on my side. I thought I was supposed to get on His. So I decided I'm just going to get on His side. This thing works easier. He's a better captain than this team than I would be. So, so I'm going to get on His team. And so I want you to do that. Just get in your thinking in that. Because it is, I'm going to tell you, life becomes easier because there's so much going on out here. You can't follow the traditions of men and the things do. It's overwhelming. Religion is overwhelming. It robs the joy out of walking with God. It's always feeling like God is just looking over your shoulder.
That
He's not walking with you. He's watching over you. And not because He wants to take care of you. He has a Holy Ghost fly swatter that He's going to whack you with. You know? Wow, you did wrong. Say, He didn't know that? You know? But see, he's trying to help. And if you see this, when God was doing these people, He's not trying to destroy them, but He must speak the truth to them to get them to turn. He can't tell them something else. See, he didn't compromise what needed to be done to fix the problem. And see, they're in a bad situation. And it's sad to this, is the people, even not liking the Pharisees, they followed them. They just followed them. What a shame. It was wearing them out and wearing them down. And we would get kicked out of the synagogue. It's like, wow. It's a rough thing because, see, the Jewish society ran off of that. And if you weren't in the synagogue, then everybody treats you rotten. All the people get to treat you rotten. They don't like the thing anyhow themselves, but they're liars. And they stay in it and won't walk in the truth because they don't want to get kicked out of the synagogue. If they all had any sense, they'd all quit the synagogue and the Pharisees wouldn't have had nothing to do. They'd have just been talking to each other. They wouldn't have had anybody to rule. Hallelujah. Well, you just follow Jesus.
Amen.
I tell you, just get in love with Him. Be confident in Him. And His goodness and His kindness towards you. If we mess up, He's already set a system to fix it get things. Amen. We're going to find out as we go on, which a lot of people don't use in Scripture, we're going to find out in the ministry of Jesus and healing some things that he said that let you understand forgiveness, what he will forgive and what he won't. Scripture tells us specifically, Jesus says specifically what God will forgive and what he won't. And it's really different. It's really different than most of Christianity. Everything. Yet it's said in Scripture, but we sort of just throw some things together and read through them, and sometimes we get in looking at a healing and don't realize all the things that Jesus said that were really... This is why, don't tell the stories, learn the revelation.
Amen.
Because the revelations are greater than many times the story themselves. What Jesus said. Always this, find out, meditate on what Jesus said. Oh, it's a blessing. Hallelujah. It'll take you places. You'll find out how good God is.
Amen.
You'll find out he's very forgiving. You know, people say God will forgive anything. Well, from a standpoint, Jesus said, but he did make a difference concerning things concealing the Holy Spirit. And we want to understand that because Christians can get themselves in trouble and need to be very careful with themselves about what they know and don't know.
Amen.
And this is why we take these things serious. God's not out to get any of us. He's out to bless all of us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's top of his agenda. Hallelujah. He's out to get you. You don't think you would have been God already?
Amen.
If God can't get you, who else could? God would have wanted to get us. He could have had us a long time ago. Hallelujah. He's kept us this long. My God. Glory to God. Father, just want to say thank you tonight. We thank you, Lord God, because of your goodness and your kindness and mercy. Lord God, that I'm just so glad that you're a Savior. Hallelujah. And you always want to deliver and heal. And Lord God, you always want to do something good. And Lord God, I know it sometimes we get in your way, but you still love us. Hallelujah. You still want to bless people. And Lord God, we just want to copy our Master Jesus and just be a blessing to bring healing and deliverance and the great salvation of God to all humanity that will hear. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.